Thank you, David, for the introduction and also the opportunity to speak. I've been asked to comment briefly on the R part of the UKRI future priorities. And in my first slide, I borrowed this quote from the famous French mathematician and physicist Pascal, because in many ways, listening to Dame Ottoline, I think this kind of encapsulates the sort of big high-level picture of UKRI to an extent from what I've been reading. So Pascal said, "I hold it equally impossible to know the parts without knowing the whole, and to know the whole without knowing the parts in detail." And of course, never has this been more important today. And if we take the area of biomedical sciences, just as the example, for the last 25 years, we've really been in the post-genomic world, where we've been interested in genes encoding proteins and what those proteins do to cells. This is the point I'd really like to make, that, you know, in the last 25 years, we've been in this really post-genomic period, interested in how genes encode proteins and how proteins affect cells. But what has really becoming more apparent is that, as well as working in the reductive domains, we need to work across the whole spatial scale. That is, we need to be able to reassemble complexity at the genetic area right through to us as humans. And of course, this has never been more important than where we are at the moment in the middle of a pandemic. So the opportunities with UKRI science model, the government's R&D roadmap, and also coupled to the industrial strategy, has some fairly clear challenges. Healthy aging is one of them, which the Physiological Society, of course, is very interested in. But academics, of course, like the second point here, that is the commitment of government to double public R&D spending to £22 billion by 2025. And hopefully, with the comprehensive spending round, we will actually get to this point. Another area I picked up, which I thought was very good, was the knowledge exchange framework, that is to maximize and translate into impact. And of course, where we are at the moment in a major national, indeed world crisis with this current pandemic, I think the signs of a mature science country is its ability to respond quickly, repurpose what you're doing, realign. And these are all characteristics of being agile. And you can tell from my Antipodean accent, I'm not British, but I actually think the UK science base has done exceptionally well here and is really leading at the moment. And just to reiterate the Pascal bit, the philosophy here, that is, to be able to set a framework up, especially a funding framework, where we can still focus on the reductive aspects of our science, but importantly, not to lose sight of the whole. That is the integrated nature of physiology here, because COVID-19 is a multi-organ disease. And this is classically where three disciplines meet around the fringes: physiology, neuroscience, and immunology. And to be able to set up funding structures in a response mode to deal with this, I think is going to be very important if we're to tackle this particular beast. Now, there are a number of big challenges, and hopefully some of these might come out in questions and discussion, but let me park COVID for the moment. I think one of the ones that's really looming, and I'll be interested in Ottoline's view here on this, that obviously, at the end of the year, the United Kingdom leaves the EU, and therefore we need to know about the access of British universities to the ERC discovering pot. And I think that's going to be very important, because there's this real tension the way we fund science, you know, the tension between discovery versus mission. And to get that balance right is going to be very important. The Haldane principle has always underpinned the philosophy behind British funding and science. And again, I was pleased to see aspects of Haldane principle in the mission aspect of UKRI. So I think that's really good. Of course, discovery science and mission science, these are not mutually exclusive. I think history is littered with terrific examples of where mission can drive discovery. We kind of call this serendipity, I guess. But if you look at war efforts, we get many advances in medicine and surgery. the NASA Moonshot really advanced material sciences and communication systems. But the two big elephants in the science room for me are really the pressure on the QR model, the dual support model, that this is the quantum for quality research. And the reality is, in research intensive universities at the moment, this current model is really driving huge deficits within these institutions. And then we've got REF, which is the framework to help facilitate the distribution of QR. And having sat on these panels over the last two exercises, I just like to sort of pose the fairly provocative question, you know, is REF really fit for purpose? It's very costly in terms of time and, of course, money. We spend hundreds of millions of pounds running this exercise every 6 or 7 years. And what does it actually tell us that we don't already know? My final slide, I guess, are some questions which might come out in discussion a little bit later. But again, I think from an academic point of view in universities, we're very interested in what success looks like. That is the time frame for success, what's the appropriate metric of success. And my question is really predicated going back to these two points here, mission science and discovery science. Mission science, more linear, it's easy to put metrics on it because you can set up milestones to make measurements. But discovery science is way more difficult. It's very non-linear and it's hard to quantify because the time frame is very long here. In fact, history is often the best judge of that. And the discovery can often go beyond many, many parliaments. So academics are really left with the question, if government is going to put in £22 billion worth of funding, that is doubling the funding budget, then what will they be looking for? What will be their time frame? What will success look like for them? Because success in terms of quality often can take a long time to come through the system. So if I could just pause there and stop.